Welcome to episode number 100 of the Novelist Spotlight Podcast. As always, this is your host, Mike Consul. Thank you for listening. Thank you for all the listening you've done since I launched this podcast on September 18th, 2021. So in just 15 months, I've done 100 episodes. I'm averaging 6.5 episodes per month. Now, I've scaled back more recently doing just one podcast per week, but early on I was doing a couple podcasts per week as I sought to compile episodes. I wanted to compile episodes because when you reach out to people, authors, to be on the program, if they see that you're only at episode number 5 or 17, they might think you're a dilettante, which I am not because I've literally done hundreds and hundreds of podcasts and my other life as a magazine editor. The number of episodes matters. So now that I've reached the century mark, I don't feel the same kind of pressure to produce many podcasts per month. One a week is fine. And you know, things have changed along the way. And I started, not only did I start out by doing 2 per week, which is aggressive for a guy with a full-time job, but as I say, I scaled back to more sustainable 1 per week. And along the way, the nature of the program actually changed as well. I was expecting that to be doing a lot more solo podcasts where I'd be coming on just like this and talking directly to you. And I will be doing more of these in the future, but it's actually the interviews with the authors that I've trended towards. But even with the authors, the nature of the program has changed because when I first got started, I talk about their latest book. I talk about writing techniques. I talk about or ask them to talk about their best advice for other writers, how their career unfolded and so on. And later I started making it more of a personality profile, more learning about that person, learning about their lives, learning about their passions and interests, all of which feed into their writing. All of which inform their writing. Obviously, we talk about the writing too. And hopefully, you're familiar with enough different episodes to recognize that. So back on, as I say, September 18th, 2021, my very first podcast was a solo podcast where I was talking about writing advice from novelist Tom Robbins. Tom Robbins of Another Roadside Attraction, Even Cowgirls Get the Blues, Half Asleep in Frog Pajamas. I had actually watched several videos on YouTube with him as the featured person. I just don't know how to reach out to Tom. I don't see a means for doing it. I'd love to have him on the program. But instead, what I did is took interviews that were done by some other people and took some of his best writing advice, and that was the kickoff, episode number 1. And I did somewhat the same with George Saunders early on, the great short story writer and novelist, George Saunders. And along the way, some of my favorites included podcast number 26, or episode number 26, which featured award-winning Canadian author Michael Bluin, talking about his most prized possession. Very interesting guy. He read from a couple different of his novels. And the thing about Michael is he reached out directly to me. He sent me an email to novelistspotlight@gmail.com and said, hey, consider me for the program. Took a look. I liked what I saw. And he's one of several people who have reached out to me who I've had on the program. Episode number 34 was another favorite, Boo Walker, who gave up a career in Nashville and gave up his banjo for a novel writing career. Has lived in some interesting places, including overseas. Now he lives in a small town in Maine, not far from Portland, Maine. And who can forget the podcast I did with journalistic legend Gay Talese? Strictly speaking, Gay Talese is not a novelist, but he's one of my biggest inspirations. A beautiful writer, and that's episode number 53. If you didn't hear that one, I highly recommend it. He's a New Yorker through and through, an Italian immigrant, or at least his father was an Italian immigrant, and he took off right from the start of that episode and was just talking a blue streak, took over the podcast for about the first 20 minutes, and then I started asking questions, and I had to start inserting those questions very quickly. I even read the first paragraph from his book, Thy Neighbor's Wife, which I thought was such a, I mean, I read that way back when I was in my early 20s, and it was such a great piece of writing, and I wanted to share that, which I did. And you can understand how reading an opening paragraph like that would set a young man on fire. And of course, I ended up devouring the book and reading many of Gay Talese's other books. It was also episode number 59 with National Book Award finalist Sandra Schofield, talking about writing that the final draft. She was very interesting, and I use her as a model for the people who I invite on the program now who agree to come on the program, and I tell them I'd like it to be more conversational than Q&A. I'd rather make it more like we're having a conversation. It's more engaging. It's more engaging for me. I think it's more engaging for the audience. And Sandra, she was very much in that mode. I'd never said anything to her, but after that episode, I thought, this is how I want more of them to go. And I started using that particular episode as an example, and not just that one. There were a couple others as well. And when I talk about making an episode more of a personality profile than necessarily an author interview, I think of episode number 70, where I interviewed Canadian novelist Charles Demers about drugs, depression, OCD, and stand-up comedy. I mean, here's a guy who's a stand-up comic, suffers from depression, got involved with drugs. OCD was an issue for him. I don't think it's such an issue anymore. I think he takes something for that. But you talk about a guy who's just very open about his situation, and talking about his life and his struggles, as well as his writing. You know, after I came out with my, novel number two, Family Recipes, novel that's subtitled A Novel About Italian Culture, Catholic Guilt, and the Culinary Crime of the Century, my friend Chip Jacobs, who was one of the earliest people I had interviewed, suggested, let me turn the microphone on you. Let me interview you about Family Recipes, your novel, which he had read before I ever published it, and which I thought was a great idea. I had a lot of fun doing that. It was a great idea by Chip, and that was episode number 78. And more recently, there was armchair historian and seven-time novelist Melanie Benjamin. That's episode number 92. She is a person who's credited with writing historical biographical fiction, and I just recently read her book Mistress of the Ritz, which is the story about a woman named Blanche during World War II running the Ritz Hotel in Paris, France, and Nazi-occupied Paris, France. And it was a great read. I'm planning to also read her book called The Swans of Fifth Avenue. I think I have that title right, The Swans of Fifth Avenue. And the historical person in that one is Truman Capote. He may not be the only one, but he's the main one, is Truman Capote. And then episode number 94, Pulitzer Prize finalist and Syracuse University creative writing director Jonathan D., I got to tell you, it's rare that I read what an author wrote ahead of time. I either know what they've written because I have read their stuff before and invited them on the program. But in the case of Jonathan D., because I schedule these things weeks out, even months out, he had just come out with a book called Sugar Street. That got some coverage in the New York Times Book Review, to which I subscribe. I got interested in what I read in the New York Times Book Review about it, so I decided to get a copy in advance of the episode with him, and it was a terrific novel, just really good. So I subsequently turned right around and got his other book, which was the Pulitzer finalist. Those novels I just mentioned are two of several novels that he has written. And the one I'm referring to as the Pulitzer finalist is called The Privileges. check it out. Both are terrific novels. And tell you the truth, I actually enjoyed Sugar Street more than I did The Privileges. Even though The Privileges was the Pulitzer finalist, we'll see how Sugar Street does. But it was very, found Sugar Street to be just very much an electrifying read. So again, that was episode number 94 with Jonathan D. And so here we are at number 100. I've got plenty more coming up. I am actually booked through March 14th with various authors. My biggest frustration, just overall, is how few people actually read. It's really kind of sad. People, in some ways, do more reading than ever. They're reading social media. They're reading a lot of stuff that their friends post or strangers post. A lot of people have turned to video. They're really addicted to TikTok or videos on the reels that appear on Instagram. And those who do read oftentimes only read nonfiction. They don't read fiction, which is, again, sad because, well, for a variety of reasons, including that I think people derive a tremendous amount of not only entertainment, but emotional intelligence from reading fiction. I did one episode where I said the most important question we can ask somebody else is, what are you reading? That's how we educate ourselves as authors, isn't it? And also, it's one of the ways that we keep ourselves current on what people are reading. And it's disappointing to hear how many people say, oh, I just am not a reader. I don't read. Or I haven't read a book since I was had to write a or read a book back when I was in high school or college. I'm always reminded of George R.R. Martin's quote that the reader lives a thousand lives. The non-reader lives but one life. There is nothing more satisfying than storytelling. We now see it in advertisements, on television. We see it all over Netflix. We see it all over Amazon Prime Video. We see it at the movie theaters. We see it in novels. We see it in business case studies. Storytelling is how we make sense of the world. We assemble things into narratives and into stories. And that's how we interpret events. It's how we look at our own life. It's how we look at other people's lives, whether consciously or unconsciously. And nowhere is storytelling more carefully put together than in the novel, than in a finely crafted novel. And yet nowadays that gets overlooked an awful lot. And I've said it before, I'll say it again, when it comes to movies versus books, the very people who don't read fiction are oftentimes, almost always, really into Netflix series or the movies. And what is that all about? It's storytelling. And the difference is that when you absorb a story on television or at a movie, the director gets to make all the choices. And all we get to do is watch. When we read a novel, we are co-creators of that novel. When a character is introduced, our imaginations flesh that character out based on some marks of distinction that the author puts in that novel. So we are a participant in the storytelling when it's a novel, when it's the written word. When it's a movie, when it's a video, we don't get to participate. I mean, how often have we read a novel? I'll give you an example for me. The World According to Garp, a novel that I loved, was very important to me in my own writing career. And then I saw the movie. And when I saw Robin Williams was cast as Garp, as much as I loved Robin Williams, tremendous comedian, tremendous actor, and so on, he just was not the right guy. That was not who I pictured in my mind's eye. He did not fit the character that was described on the page. So we know that we've got our own input when it comes to that. We flesh these characters out and these situations out in our own ways. And in that way, again, we're a participant and even a co-creator. So there's a real mental distinction between the movie and the novel. The novel or the Netflix series is easy. It's lazy. I'm not diminishing it because I love Netflix series. I love movies. I don't mean to diminish it, but it's a lazy way to access storytelling, which doesn't mean we shouldn't be doing it. It just means we shouldn't limit ourselves in that way. And what we see more and more is that so many of these series and so many of the movies are based on what? Novels. They're based on novels that have been very popular, and the movie makers, the series makers figure there's a built-in audience for this. Millions of people read the book. And oftentimes it's not even a novel that millions of people have read. It's a novel that is worthwhile, but it was not necessarily a New York Times number one bestseller. That did not sell millions of copies, but maybe tens of thousands or hundreds of thousands of copies. But that's me. That's what I have to say. I'm opinionated. That's why I started this podcast. This is one of the reasons I started this podcast. And if you hear me in conversation with authors, you know that I've got my own opinions and I sometimes challenge people on things. I try to dig down. I'll make the assumption that you are a regular listener to the podcast and that you'll continue to listen. And I thank you for that. I thank you for listening. I thank you for reading, for being part of the tribe, for being part of that community. For Novelist Spotlight, I'm Mike Consul.